great. I remember singing that last song when I was in the first Bible school I went to down in Ontario in 89-90. But it's great. What a great song of commitment to walk together under the Lord's leadership and not just going these different fractured directions. I may have told this story here before, but like Beverly said, sometimes we need to hear it twice. We were at a time of making a big decision in our life, and Beverly said to me one night when I got home, she says, can we just go somewhere for a weekend? And I said, how about Arkansas? She said, well, for the weekend, because I'd already been thinking about it, and we needed a little longer than a weekend. We needed some time to process and pray together. We were making a big decision, and we wanted confirmation from God. So we went on a brief holiday down to Arkansas, mostly a time away to pray and be in God's creation. And she said, well, why Arkansas? And I said, because we don't know a single person there. That's what we need to do, is just step back and go, what are we doing? Why are we on this planet, God? What's our way forward? Where are you leading us? And we went down there, and when we're traveling, I often look up the denomination that I happen to be a part of. As you know, I've been a part of, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe 7 of them in my journey. I often look up that denomination. Is there that particular flavor of church? So now I'd look for an MB church. Is there one in the area? Hey, go visit there for fun. There wasn't an MB church. We were attending an MB church at the time. We went down there, and then I look up Alliance Church, Christian and Missionary Alliance churches. Did you generally know what you get with those, right? Anyways, so I looked those up. We go visit this Christian and Missionary Alliance church. We're sitting in the service. Pastor's preaching there. There's Beverly. There's me. There's this woman right on my left. Pastor, no kidding. He's hardly got the N of amen out. Suddenly, this woman stands up, zooms right around, faces me, and says, y'all want to come for a home-cooked meal? And I'm just sitting there stunned. There was way more accent to that. I didn't even understand what she had said. And it was just so fast and startling at the end of the service. I just kind of did a sideways glance, and Beverly interpreted. And we went for a home-cooked meal over at their home and had a great time. How many of you have been on holidays somewhere, out and about, you encountered a person, something about them, you knew they were a believer, and you had a great time of connecting with them? Anybody traveling had some sort of spontaneous whatever, or on holiday like that? We had a great time of fellowship in their home. You know what we didn't do at the beginning of that conversation? Hey, so what's your view on end times? Or, you know, pull out some other issue that we divide on sometimes. We simply were followers of Jesus, encouraging one another. They gave us a little brain game. It's a few pieces of wood that he cut out and finished, and you make a capital T out of them if you put them together right. And I still have that. I think of that couple whenever I have our box of brain games out. There's a unity in Jesus, and it's huge. And often, we don't actually access it. We don't live it to the fullest degree. There's a unity of the Spirit. We've taken a break from Ephesians. We did the first 3 chapters of Ephesians before Christmas last fall about our identity in Christ. Now we're into chapters 4-6, and this is about living out of our identity in Christ. It affects every single relationship, or it ought to. Or we have some aligning to do so that it does. And there's unity in the Spirit. I mean, this is a big chunk of Scripture we're taking here. There's so much in the first 16 verses here, but we'll try it anyways. In these first 16 verses, this unity of the Spirit is huge. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity, to learn to live in true unity. It's powerful. There is unity in the Spirit. That He is our foundation. He's the one that gives us unity. Whatever denomination, whatever other things that we have in that are different, there's a unity in the Spirit. I just want to deal with two things here this morning. There's a unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. And secondly, we'll look at there's a unity in the Spirit through grace and diversity. So as we look at this, I'm going to pray and then we'll read some verses and walk through this together a little bit this morning. Heavenly Father, we long for unity. We long for to be in unity with You and right relationship with You. And in this passage, we also long, and it's shown we can have unity with one another. Help us, move us toward this morning. Teach us, lead us, empower us, embolden us, that we would actually live this out in our relationships. Pray in Your name. Amen. Paul says here, chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That is all that we covered before Christmas, that whole identity. Now live it out. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What terrible verses those are. Just look at it for a couple minutes. I therefore, whenever there's a therefore in Scripture, I was taught in seminary, look what it's there for. It ties all the first three chapters, launches into something that's going to shift gears. Now live out your new identity in relationships. Therefore, it's all of what came before it. Therefore, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Jesus calls us to follow Him, to know who we truly are in Him. We're sent ones. We're children. We're so many other things that we covered here in the first, was the previous months. With all humility. Beautiful word, hey? When other people demonstrate it towards us. Such a hard word to put ourselves under. Humble ourselves. And gentleness. We don't live in a gentle culture. We live in a very harsh and confrontational culture. With patience, bearing with one another in love. I don't know, I haven't lived all the other decades or centuries, but we live in an incredible time where we don't demonstrate gentleness and patience and bear with one another. We just don't live in that. As soon as we find out we disagree with someone in a certain way, we break relationship. We walk away from it. We disregard everything else that they have to say. We can't even have a conversation in our society once it's known that we disagree on some point. And yet there's so much more we have in common. We're first and foremost created in the image of God, even with people who don't know that they're created in the image of God yet. And we can connect as humans, as people, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These verses go on. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and in all. Through all and in all. I'm going to quote it. This bond of peace, in these first verses. It's unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word peace, I've mentioned it before, but it's things set right. Right? Jesus comes, he says, peace be with you. He comes and makes peace between us and God. He's completely made it possible. Now do we need to receive that gift. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is working together. This is us under the Spirit, in the Spirit, full of the Spirit flowing through us. But as these verses describe, this is even during times of conflict. This is times of disagreement. Right? Bearing with one another. We don't need to bear with one another when we're all just skipping through the roses or the tulips or whatever in perfect agreement and harmony and just having fun at life, right? It's not at a birthday party when everything's going great that we need to bear with one another. These are each phrases that we could spend quite a while unpacking, but this is even during the hardest times, during times of conflict, discord, that in the Spirit, to live out that calling of who we truly are, we approach people with humility. Not that we have it all figured out. How often during a time of conflict do we go in and we go, we don't know what not... I know what you, I know not only what you have done, but I know why you did it. And we ascribe motive to people. And we battle there. We assume the worst about them. Rather than humbly going, this is how I received what you did, and this is the impact on me. But we humbly learn we can engage in conversation and explore it with gentleness, with patience, with bearing with one another. They might say, yeah, I totally overreacted in that moment because I got this going on, and that's not an excuse. But we can actually understand. Me and another church leader have been walking with a congregation trying to help them hear one another. In a season of discord and conflict. And it is a lot of work. It's amazing what someone can start to hear through their lenses from someone else when there's a past history there. It can be a lot of work. No, this is what they actually were saying. I can hear it. And this person can't hear it yet. It's a lot of work. But will we move in there? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Remember, we're bonded together. We've been made right with God, and we're part of the body. We've been made the possibility that we can be made right with one another. What happens when someone hurts us? Patience. Bearing with? That doesn't come natural, right? That comes supernatural. Made me think of... We go to the next slide. When we were with venture teams and training teams, we used to go up to Evergreen, and there's a pretty high platform there where you do the trust fall. You fall backwards, and a group is down there ready to catch you. Well, you need to give some instructions about how to catch because you're standing there hooked together. It can easily bring you together, and you can knock heads. There can be some damage done to people. We've seen it. But it's a huge thing of trust. But relationships are like that too. We need each other more than we usually recognize. And there's been times when we put ourselves out there, made ourselves vulnerable, and somebody dropped us. Maybe on purpose, maybe by accident. Either way, it hurts. And how do we live this out by the power of the Spirit? Making every effort of ourselves, being willing to engage to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make things as right as possible. in that relationship. Prayerfully consider if there is a relationship maybe that you've been hurt in, where we haven't acted this out, where we just wrote that person off and went, yeah, good riddance. But there's been a fracture in the body. God's name is maligned. Is there a relationship where God is inviting us today to live this out, live up to our calling, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, make this as right as possible, even in hard times? There's ways we can build unity even during the easier times. I've said this before. If we share our strengths, we get competition. We share our weaknesses, we get community. Builds us unity, community, unity, together. Do we build that even when we're not in conflict? Are we willing to make ourselves vulnerable so someone else can bear with us, walk, help carry what we're carrying? But if we're going to stand, even during the good times, a little bit arm's length, then why would we be surprised during challenging times we don't assume the worst of them? It's not worth the effort to walk through hard situations and reconciliation and healing and wholeness if we're hardly in relationship with one another. If we don't recognize we're both in the Spirit, we're both on journey towards Jesus, and yes, we're going to let each other down. Let's keep moving towards the bond of peace, things made right. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So I'll ask the question again. Is there a past hurt? Is there a fractured relationship within the body that God's going, you need to address that? He's bringing it to our mind right now. That's unfinished business. I didn't make every effort then, but here's the command and the conviction and the calling to do that now. And are we in an ongoing way really building unity? Am I putting myself out there? Am I being vulnerable with one another? Hey, how are you doing? I'm okay. Is that real? I was at a meeting yesterday in Medicine Hat. I walked in. Somebody says, hey, how are you doing? I said, to be honest, I'm exhausted emotionally and spiritually. That's where I'm right at this moment. Oh, thanks for sharing that. We can pray together for a moment, and then we can move forward. Can we be real with one another? Boy, I pray we can in the church. There's a double invitation from the Holy Spirit this morning. The unity of the Spirit is also through grace and diversity. Let's look at the next verses. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Mankind. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended to the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Just pause there for a moment. So he descended. Talk about one who humbled himself. Comes with gentleness and patience and bearing with one another. He comes in form of a baby. He lowered himself, descended to the earth to make things as right as possible. He hadn't done any wrong, but he knew the relationship was fractured, broken, and he did all he could. Talk about make every effort. He made every effort. He's covered the gap. And he gives gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the purpose of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer be children tossed about to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, right in real relationships, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We're so individualistic in North America. We read so many of these passages and think, how does this apply to me? And God keeps saying, these are letters to the body. And this is about the whole body. And we keep saying, yeah, but I was hurt. Yeah, but what about me? And it's the whole body. Yes, we play a significant role, each part doing its work, as I already mentioned this morning, right? I don't go out in the streets. I don't run one of Streets Alive's homes. But we can have our grad sale here in the fall, and we can support them in this walk now in their work, embody together, and someone's life is transformed. It builds up the body. People come to Christ. People are encouraged in their faith. People live out their true identity in Christ more and more fully. And we do the hard work of relating in relationship. None of us sees our blind spots. We were talking about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. None of us sees our blind spot. We need each other to point out, hey, this seems to be hindering your growth in Christ. Is this accurate? We go there humbly, but we also give that person permission to say, hey, is this actually feeding your soul or distracting your life? And we speak the truth in love so that we are able to grow up in every way into Him, because these things hinder us and we walk around as spoiled little children going, I want this, I want that. And it breaks the heart of God, and we're distracted from actually doing the ministry that He's called us to. And we need grace. We need grace to live, grace to extend, grace to receive and to give a word of correction. The passage also speaks about diversity. The unity of the Spirit comes through, yes, the bond of peace, things made right and making things right. Grace for one another, extended and received. And diversity. There's all sorts of different gifts here. Right? I think of, pick any one of these, we could explore them. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. Who are our evangelists in a congregation? I really saw this clearly in my time in Toronto. But a lot of parachurch ministries start because somebody in the church, one of these apostles, prophets, evangelists, etc., often the evangelists, are out there seeking to make win people to Christ and hand them on to the teachers and etc. But the church can't adjust to it. The evangelists, those crazy bananas, they're inviting people to sound different, look different, speak different. They make life messy in the church. And in all sorts of ways, they're made to feel really uncomfortable until the evangelists leave church and they go start a parachurch ministry that reaches out in some way. It's disconnected. And yes, the parachurch is connected to the church, but often it is functionally, it's like having an arm out there and it's more mechanically run or whatever. It's just odd. But can we adjust? Can we go through the messiness of people that maybe don't fit the norm first, right? There's often unspoken rules within congregations that you gotta adjust to kind of become one of us before you become one of us. Weird pressure, right? Sound like us first. Get most of your life together so that we're more comfortable being in your presence, in other words. And it can happen in other ways as well. But there's a diversity there, and it's a good thing, he says. It builds up the body of Christ. And it's necessary. First Timothy 6 says, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. So that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Why do I read that passage, 1 Timothy 6? Because we can break unity even, right? It says there's pastors, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And often we want to live this out. Everybody should live this out. Let's reach out to our community, but we need to do it in this narrow way. We need to do it in the way that I'm comfortable with. And we can start to divide over words, right? It says, quibble over words is the way I fight over words and meanings, right? We can fight over the meaning, and congregations do. They fight over the meaning of apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And forget that it's equip the saints for the work of ministry and the building up of the body. We can have these little infights that completely derails the congregation from having any impact in anyone's life. It breaks the heart of God. Breaks the unity of the Spirit. And it's just simply controversy. Weird, in a passage that is so much about unity, that we can break the unity. John 17, Jesus is praying. He says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. Right? The first three chapters of Ephesians. Those who have received his calling to be his children, his sent ones, etc. For they are yours. All are yours. And yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. He prays for the unity of the church because he knew we were going to struggle with this. One of the longest prayers in Scripture is Jesus praying for his disciples that they would be one as the Father is one. What has become so important in our lives, right? I'm offended, I'm this, I'm that, I'm scared to be vulnerable. That hinders me from moving towards true unity, that encourages deeply that we would be the body of Christ and live this out in real relationships, practicing with one another and making a difference in the world. There's an article in Christianity Today by Matthew Nussbaum. I don't know how to say his last name. Someone having a perceived flawless theology and a vast command of Scripture and theological intricacies does not always equate to having the Spirit of Christ. We can fight over each one of these things. Command of Scripture, theological ideas. Where do we get it down to the basics? There's one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism, one Spirit, one God in all for building up the body. We come together with what we have in common first. Could we travel, he goes on later in the article, could we travel beyond our comfortable theological tribes and villages in order to befriend, encourage, support, and love pastors and priests in our community? In other words, he goes on to explain it further, but can we work with other denominations? Or are we more aware of our distinctives and willing to divide over them? There's churches dividing every single week in North America over secondary issues. And it breaks the heart of God, and it hinders His witness. It hinders kingdom growth, and it doesn't build the body. But it starts with individual relationships. You make every effort to keep the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, through the bond of peace, through grace and diversity. There's freedom in Christ. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've brought a lot of grief to each other, to you, when we've broken unity over secondary things, over whatever distracts us, even by our own passions. We need to do things this way because it's most natural to me. You've given different gifts to different people. Are we moving towards the same big picture, glorifying you, helping people follow you better and better, more accurately, freely, lightly, enjoying your presence and your delight? Are we doing something else and distracting, God? I pray you would forgive us as your people and lead us to true unity in your Spirit. Make us willing to take one or two significant and specific actions this week. In a relationship where there's conflict, or in a relationship where we simply can have the opportunity to be vulnerable and humble and cared for and extend grace and freedom and diversity so that your name is truly glorified. And in your Spirit, we experience the unity that you're speaking about here. In your name, amen.